Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
What is up, fellow gamers? This is Mike the Birdman Dodd from This Week in Geek. And this is, of course, Geek Gamers. Now, we're going to take this show into its extended show format, much like we did with our DVD reviews. In this episode, we'll be covering Halo 3, NHL 2K8, Stranglehold, Virtua Tennis 3, Metroid Prime 3, Mario Strikers, Wario, and Puzzle Planet League. So you'll be checking that out right here on
Geek Gamers.
What's going on, everyone? I'm Pierce the Punk Turks, and prepare for the epic conclusion to Bungie's Halo series with Halo 3. We're going to tell you all about the graphics, the sound, the control, the fun, and of course, the geek factor. Right here on
Geek Gamers. Graphics.
The graphics of this game, well, let me tell you, the Master Chief has never looked so good, and especially in glorious HD. The team at Bungie really set things up for this game to look as good as possible to be a fitting end to the Halo trilogy. There are so many little things which have improved from Halo 2, and it looks like a radical redesign, especially when it comes to the environments. So many things seem like, for lack of better description, alive. Special effects like fire also look amazing, and some of the new weapons like the Brute Spiker and the Grav Hammer look especially brutal. Vehicles also received a nice visual upgrade like the Warthog and the new ones like the Chopper and the Hornet. Easily one of the best looking games across any of the next gen systems. The Chief strides into a confident 8 bits out of 8.
Sound.
Halo 3 is a game that has really taken sound design to a whole new level and added depth and texture to every environment that the game happens in. What I mean by that is, shell casings will sound different depending on what surface they hit. It could be rock, tile, metal, it could be any number of things. The game really takes it up a notch, and that really impresses me. The sound by Martin O'Donnell is also impressive as hell. When you look at the alien vistas of the Ark to the jungles of New Bombesa, the music just seems to suit whatever environment you're in and is a definite improvement over Halo 2. Not that Halo 2 is a slouch in the music department, though. Voice acting has also stayed consistent with Sarge Johnson's David Scully, and of course Steve Downes as the Master Chief and Jen Taylor as the AI Cortana. All excellent performances and a fitting end to the Halo storyline. However, there is a documentary on the bonus disc, which includes an extensive look at the audio of Halo 3, and is definitely worth a look at. Especially when you consider the sound of the Warthog's hubcaps is a walk being hit with a hatchet. That's just weird and fun to me. Anyway, this is putting forth an audio treat for your Xbox 360 and your ears. A solid 7 bits out of 8.
Control.
The controls of Halo 3 are remarkably tight and have remained almost the same for all three games. However, the reload button has changed a bit to the right bumper, and it takes a little bit of time to get used to, but it's still a great improvement. The vehicles are all here, and even added a few new ones which have their own control scheme which feels unique, such as the Hornet, which feels sluggish to drive, yet quick to respond, and as always, the Warthog, which is everybody's guilty pleasure. Weapons feel tight. The new ones, like the Grav Hammer, even have their own unique feel to them, and seem to have a power that you can almost feel through your controller. Making custom game maps is also a lot easier this time around, and the addition of the file sharing and the game movies is a welcome touch to the last installment of the series. Grenade jumping into a 7 out of 8 bits.
Fun factor. Geek factor.
Well, we finished the fight, and now we're left to ask, now what? Well, I suppose we wait till Halo Wars comes out in 2008, but you know what? It was worth it, finishing the fight with the Master Chief. However, the biggest geek out I've had with the Halo experience is Halo 3, simply because of the bonus features which have been offered on the various editions of the game. For example, the limited edition comes with a bonus disc which features extensive documentaries and featurettes, and even comes with a bonus booklet which explains the Covenant, the humans, and even why the Master Chief is called the Reclaimer, as told from the view of the Forerunners, I guess, Guilty Spark thing. but it's remarkably cool. And now the legendary set. Now, this is where I find kind of funny. It comes with the so-called Cat Helmet, which is the replica of the Master Chief's helmet from this edition, and that's remarkably cool. Now, even I don't have this set yet. The bonus sets, they're enough to satisfy any geek gamer. You're going to love it no matter what edition you get, because the Halo experience, it's just that. You're paying for an experience which hasn't been matched by any system in an extremely long time, if ever, in my opinion. However, go out there, get this game, get one of the editions, get Legendary. Do it for me. Do it for the Birdman. You know you want to. Unlocking an achievement of just plain awesome at 8 bits out of 8.
Halo has become part of our culture, and with this game, it's not hard to see why. With the biggest opening day in entertainment history, Halo 3 does not disappoint. That's why we give it a solid 8 bits out of 8.
Stop now, or I shall use more big words at you.
I certainly hope that isn't the last we see of the Master Chief, as I just love the design of the character. But we will have Halo Wars, and who's to say there won't be a Halo 4? I mean, come on. It's made so much money, you'd be stupid not to make something else. Anyway, shuffling gears for a minute, we're going to check out NHL 2K8 for the Xbox 360, the PS3, and the PS2. So, without further ado, let's rock.
Yeah!
Prepare to drop the puck with NHL 2K8 from 2K Sports. We're going to tell you all about the graphics, the sound, the control, the fun, and of course, the geek factor, right here on
Geek Gamers Graphics.
2K Sports really came out swinging this year, and NHL 2K8 looks amazing, but looks especially good on the Xbox 360. The arena really seems to come alive with this title, and you can almost feel the icy mist that gets kicked up by the player's skates. One detail I noticed about the graphics is that there are reflections on the ice, and they were very noticeable when the camera swung overhead. Players look pretty good too, and mostly like their real-life counterparts. Speaking of the real-life counterparts, they have a lot of players in this game, and it's impressive to say the least, the amount of faces they have in the game. The game looks the best on the Xbox 360, but the PS3 version does a lot to keep up with it. And the PS2 version, pretty damn good, I'd say. Winning the face-off at 6 bits out of 8.
Sound.
As Joe Bowen might say,
holy mackinac!
Hockey has always had a unique sound to the game, and the fans especially when the game gets roaring. The design is really solid, from the sound of power skating down the ice into firing off a snapshot against the goalie. The part that really impresses us here at Geek Gamers is how realistic the announcing sounds. A casual listener might even assume that a real hockey broadcast is happening. The commentary provided by Bob Cole and Harry Neal takes us to an absolutely outstanding new level. Also have to mention what a kick-ass soundtrack is included here with Tokyo Police Club and many others. It is definitely cool. Firing a shot from the top of the circle with a solid 7 bits across all three systems.
Control.
This game controls remarkably well on the 360 and the PS3, and it feels better than other installments. When you maneuver the puck around your stick and when you score, it's remarkably satisfying in the end because it is difficult. Skating feels literally smooth as ice and handles as good as any competitor title. However, the PS2 is similar to its 2K7 counterpart. That's not necessarily a bad thing either. The franchise mode is what really deserves the highlight from contract negotiations, waivers, and all sorts of legal fun. You'll feel like a pro when you can successfully manage a team to season's end, within budget, and into the playoffs. As I said earlier, scoring can be difficult, but when you do manage to get it between the pipes, you feel so rewarded, it's amazing. It feels like you scored the 72 goal against the Russians, and you will celebrate. Personally, I usually yell, woo! Pump my controller up and down. It's a lovely save at 7 bits out of 8.
Geek Factor.
I must say that I'm a former NHL geek who's coming back into the fold once again. The Geek Factor here is huge because of the depth of the franchise mode, as mentioned earlier. All the stuff you can do with negotiations and contracts, that's wicked fun for anyone who's ever done any of those hockey fantasy pools. Also, having a ton of jersey options is awesome. As you can see, the classic teams and even teams that you likely didn't even know existed unless you were around or are a hockey nut. This is easily one of the best hockey games I have played and brings a part of Hockey Night in Canada alive for me on the next generation systems. Managing to get a loose puck on the rebound is 6 bits out of 8.
Fun factor.
Video game hockey was one of the first titles available for the first home consoles, and since then has undergone major innovation and evolution. However, at its core, it remains fun, fast, and over the last 10 years, all the innovation has just led to more fun. It does take a while to pick up the game, but once you do, the pucks will be flying and eventually the goal light will be lit. It'll be an awesome experience in your living room. Playing over Xbox Live or the PlayStation Network can be a cool experience and will lead to some new virtual competitors. I can honestly say that this is one of the better hockey titles available out there for the next-gen systems and for the PS2. It's an absolute steal of a deal. Wrapping around the post to put one in the net at a solid 7 bits out of 8.
This is one of the few games that truly kicks ass in its specific franchise area. NHL 2K8 is one of those games that is built for the hardcore hockey fan. From the franchise mode to the stick handling, this title stands out. I personally give this game 7 bits out of 8. If you're a hockey fan, get it. If you're not, give it at least a rent.
Thanks, Mike. That was Mike the Birdman Dodd filling in on the X Show because I'm a hockey noob.
We're on Express Elevator to Hell. Going down.
See, at least in this game, I will get to see the Leafs win a Stanley Cup. But you know what? As many fans say, just give it a while. It's going to happen. Maybe it'll be this year. I'm hoping. But from kicking ass on the ice to kicking ass with bullets and other things, we have Midway's Stranglehold. This was based off the John Woo movie Hard Boiled, so this is technically the sequel to it, I guess. But still, you're going to see some John Woo-esque action, and it's going to kick a lot of ass. So, let's check that out.
What are you trying to tell me? That I can dodge bullets?
I am Pierce the Punk Dirks, and I am joined with
Mike the Birdman Dodd.
And prepare to dive in the action with Midway Stranglehold for the Xbox 360. We're going to tell you all about the graphics, the sound, the control, the fun, and of course, the geek factor. Right here on
Geek Gamers Graphics.
As epic and coolness as any John Woo movie, Stranglehold certainly does hold its own on the next generation consoles. Chow Yun-Fat is Renner and looks awesome as he returns as Inspector Tequila. The game looks pretty good, but nothing that really pushes the 360 to the brink of hardware failure. Environments look really impressive, and as they should, as you can shoot the hell out of them and completely destroy it. In-game cinematics are quite cool as well and look good and serve to push the story forward. One detail that should be addressed, though, is the character and model detail. People and guns are remarkably well detailed, and that's a nice surprise. With gun muzzle flashes and snappy one-liners, slide this into a solid 6 bits out of 8.
An audio treat as bullets hit tile and rock and yet sound different. The game really takes its time to create a unique audio experience as the world comes alive through the ambience of the sound. A solid set of voice actors and even Chow Yun-Fat delivers with the same punch as he did back in 92's Hard Boiled. The bad guys leave and toss in random phrases from their native tongues, which adds to the mix as well. Firing off with dual pistols into a well-deserved 6 bits out of 8.
This is a game that can easily be picked up, and within no time, you'll be doing all sorts of insane stunts and racking up impressive digital kills against hordes of virtual foes. The slow-motion combat system called Tequila Time works remarkably well, but it always activates when you need it, and sometimes when it doesn't need to, which can be slightly annoying. However, Stranglehold's controls are tight, and your character moves well within the environment, and context-sensitive objects activate with ease, such as sliding down a rail or swinging from a chandelier. The game does seem short, though, but then again, this is a shoot-'em-up rather than an epic RPG, and it's exactly what you expect from John Woo. Style with a surprising amount of substance. However, multiplayer was kind of a letdown, but still fun in our experience. Rattling off a full clip at 5 bits out of 8.
What geek hasn't wanted to pull some John Woo-esque stunts in a game? And now we can as the iconic Inspector Tequila in his array of insane gung-fu. Seriously, this is the guy who inspired the Matrix stunts, and now you can do it! The achievements have some references to Hard Boiled, and that makes me giggle in a way that makes me question my manliness. What can I say? Using the Flock of Dust for an effect at 8 bits out of 8.
Shooters have always been a favorite here at Geek Gamers, and this is no different for us. The fun comes from being able to destroy your enemies in creative manners and look remarkably stylish while doing it. It takes about an hour or so to beat each level, and then whatever time you'll spend on multiplayer on Xbox Live. The game's lasting appeal will come from your personal preference of the shooter genre, but look at it this way. It's a great stress reliever when you go in guns blazing John Woo style, dramatically posing for a final rating of 5 bits out of 8.
John Woo's Stranglehold for the Xbox 360 isn't nearly as epic as the films, but it comes pretty damn close. Awesome action, awesome story, and awesome gameplay. We definitely recommend you pick up this title with a solid 6 bits out of 8.
Mecha-lecha-hi, mecha-hiney-ho.
I do have to thank the makers of this game for introducing me to my new favorite shot, the Tequila Slammer. So thank you. Not entirely, as it's been a rather rough day. I'm kidding, folks. Anyway, we're going to be checking out something else. And this is something that's... it's geeky in its own way. Actually, I'm kind of starting to get into it. This is Virtua Tennis 3. This is a title that surprised me just how good it actually was. So, check it out. Here's a review of Virtua Tennis 3.
Because this whole thing is like a big video game, and you're really somewhere else with a wire in the back of your neck and blue goo in every crevice of your body.
Get ready to hit the courts with Virtua Tennis 3 from Sega on the Xbox 360. We're going to tell you about the graphics, sound, control, fun, and of course, the geek factor. Right here on...
Geek Gamers. Graphics.
This is one of the best-looking sports games I've seen in ages on the 360. The players look just like their real-life counterparts, and I'm especially impressed with the detail given to the character models' hair and faces.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
I can't believe it.
That Gerald is presenting the quarterly budget report with finger puppets?
Look, here comes a 1.7% decrease in fixed overhead. Hello, everybody!
No, I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on my car insurance with Geico.
Who are you? The projected increase in organic Q3 revenue. Hooray!
Believe it. Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Environments are well detailed and impressive enough in glorious HD. Sega's attention to detail really shows up, and this is an awesome addition to the Virtua Tennis series. This title serves up 7 bits out of 8.
There is something about the satisfying smack of a ball hitting the racket that makes our audio sensors scream in delight. The sound effects are remarkably good, and the game sounds a lot like the matches when they're broadcast on TV, and it really brings a tennis experience home. Another winning slice rewards this game with 6 bits out of 8.
Controls remain the same as they always have, an easy-to-pick-up arcade feel that is easy to master within minutes. The minigames control remarkably tight and are challenging when you're trying to dodge giant tennis balls or shoot down UFOs. This is where the game really does go in-depth to creating a world tour mode, and it was something that sincerely blew me away with a year-based career and how in-depth it went. Literally, every choice has to count. Multiplayer was awesome on Xbox Live and really does lengthen the playtime for this title. For our first Virtua Tennis experience, it was awesome. This game scores a tremendous 8 bits out of 8.
One of the first games ever developed for the home console was tennis, and as a result, tennis video games have always had a special place in gamers' hearts. The geek factor here is present in the minigames, especially with the UFOs. Also, what man can resist Maria Sharapova in her almost 200-mile-per-hour serve? A baseline hit at 7 bits out of 8.
Fun factor.
We hadn't played a tennis game since the Nintendo 64 did, but this game totally made me remember how much I really did love the sport of tennis. We had more fun with this game than we thought we would, and that was such a pleasant surprise. Arcade-style sports games can be a lot of fun, like NHL Open Ice and the ever-revered NBA Jam, and this title is no exception. The career mode can be a lot of fun to go against players like Venus Williams or the aforementioned Maria Sharapova. 6 bits out of 8.
If you're looking for a solid matchup on the 360, look no further than Virtua Tennis 3. Great gameplay, amazing graphics, sound, and control. One of the best sports games we've ever played. Who said tennis was only for rich men in tight shorts? Sega's definitely served up a hit with this one. 7 bits out of 8.
Somebody get this freaking duck away from me!
Switching gears from tennis balls to morph balls, that's right, we're going to cover Metroid Prime 3 Corruption. This is a game that surprised me in a lot of ways, just the fact that it controls so well. But you know what? If you haven't checked out this title already, you probably should. So here's our review to give you a little bit of incentive to walk down to your local store.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Prepare to be corrupted with Metroid Prime 3 Corruption for the Nintendo Wii. We're going to tell you all about the graphics, the sound, the control, the fun, and of course, the geek factor. Right here on...
Samus's first game in the Nintendo Wii comes swinging out of the gates with a powerful performance that shows off the Wii's graphical muscle, if you can call it that. Environments look amazing as always, and the upgrades to the armor is wicked looking. The special effects for weapons and attacks look really snazzy as well. Does anyone say snazzy anymore? Anyway, cinematics rounded out in the end, and all I have to say is, wow. Easy 7 bits out of 8.
Sound.
We've always had a special spot for the music from the Metroid Prime series. Sound effects are spot on, and the atmospheric effects really take you into the game. The voice acting in the game is far from Hollywood blockbuster, but it gets the job done. Jennifer Hell returns as Samus Aran's voice, and as always, gorgeous. Blasting through at a solid 7 bits out of 8.
Control.
Easily the best controlled game currently available for the Wii system. Aiming becomes so amazingly accurate, it's unreal and makes you feel like a complete badass space bounty hunter. Metroid Prime 3 really makes use of the motion controls and makes the environments interactive with some interesting twists. One of the reviews for this game has stated that once you play this, you'll never want to control a game with dual analog sticks again. Oh, I totally agree. Just imagine what has been opened with a game like this. Fighting and moving Samus around the environment became so natural after just a few minutes of gameplay. However, the one downside to the game is that it seems almost too easy compared to other entries in the series. Targeting a deserved 7 bits. Out of 8.
Defector.
Well, let's see. A sexy bounty hunter who could likely give the Master Chief a run for his money? Yeah, that sends the geek factor way up there. It's a really in-depth storyline, too, which has been a staple of the Metroid Prime series.
Fun factor.
Well, we certainly have hyped this game enough, huh? But is it fun? Yes, and I mean a capital Y-E-S, yes. However, it's not without its one fault, however. It does seem relatively easy for the hardcore gamer and can be kind of glitchy when the doors when they activate. However, the game does have about 20 hours of gameplay with a few hidden secrets along the way as well. Easily one of the cooler games we have received from Nintendo, and it's blasts its way with 7 bits out of 8.
Metroid Prime 3 for the Nintendo Wii is not without its faults, but it still comes pretty damn close to being perfect. Excellent control, excellent gameplay, excellent fun is what you'll have with this one. That's why we here at This Week in Geek are proud to give it 7 bits out of 8.
Perhaps you'd like to be alone with your rapidly deteriorating mental condition.
Kinda hoping there'll be a Metroid Prime 4, so hey, you never know. But this certainly won't be Samus' last appearance, as her appearance in Super Smash Bros. Brawl has been remarkably well-typed with her new Zero suit variation in-game. So going from Morph Balls now to Soccer Balls, I seem to like using that segue a lot. But yes, we're gonna check out Mario Strikers Charge for the Nintendo Wii.
Let's go!
And get ready to hit the field with Mario Strikers Charge for the Nintendo Wii. We're going to tell you all about the graphics, the sound, the control, the fun, and of course, the geek factor, right here on
Geek Gamers. Graphics.
Mario Strikers Charge offers up some updated graphics for this installment, and the Mario universe never looks so good. Well, at least until Mario Galaxy comes out anyway. The soccer stylized players look amazing as always, from the classic Mario and Luigi to the menacing Bowser Jr. The arena has also looked pretty cool too, and have a wide variety of special effects like lava and other classic Mario obstacles like thwomps. Character models are detailed in all their cartoony glory. Charge looks good, all things considered, but not a processor blowing experience. Kicking it off with a 6 bits out of 8.
Sound.
A nice array of sound to be found in this title. A different style of music is present and gives players something a little different than what they may be used to at this point with the series. Character voices also makes a return in the game, although I kind of wanted to see Mario be able to jump out in a We Will Rock You theme, but who knows? Maybe later. But aren't nearly as annoying as they have been in previous Mario titles. Sly tackling into a solid 6 bits out of 8.
A good use of the Wii's capabilities without overusing the motion and becoming gimmicky and tired in the play. The addition of the point-and-shoot goalie was very slick and can be fun when someone uses the Mega Strike against you, but you better keep sharp because it's going to happen often. A negative, though, the team AI does seem to suffer while the other teams to be sharp and really intelligent, and yours seem to be kind of in a daze. However, the controls itself are responsive and quick, and that can make a difference in the heat of gameplay, lining up the shot with 6 bits out of 8.
Defector.
Having Mario's friends and nemesis, is it nemesis, nemesis? I don't know, plural? I'm not an English major. Anyway, having them all compete in an all-out soccer brawl is just too good to pass up. The Striker series has been an enjoyable one and different than any other soccer offerings, and way better than Mega Man Soccer ever was, and that's saying something. It ranks up there definitely on the geek scale. However, the Hammer Brothers are my favorite sidekick, and they're just badass. And I wish they had included other ones like the Boomerang Brothers or the Sumo Brothers like Mike. Anyway, throwing it back
in a bounds, 5 bits out of 8.
Fun factor.
The online factor is where a lot of the fun is going to be had with this game. One of the first games to allow online multiplayer is definitely an asset when it comes to fun. However, even without the online feature, just being able to slide tackle your friends can be fun as hell. The single player games also pack in enough challenge to keep you going for a long time. Well worth dropping your bucks down if you're a fan of the original. Finishing off with a Mega Strike score of 7 bits out of 8.
Mario Strikers Charge is not the best game Nintendo has ever come out with, but it's still pretty fun. An excellent, insane sports game for all you Mario fans out there. That's why we are very pleased to give it a 6 bits out of 8.
Your move, creep.
There seems to be a certain kind of charm that follows Nintendo sports games, and Strikers was certainly no exception. Definitely an awesome addition to the fledgling Wii collection. Now, jumping gears to Nintendo's handheld, the Nintendo DS, this is Wario Master of Disguise. Well, not quite sure what to say for this one, but it's certainly going to be a changing experience.
Soundwave, playback Laserbeak's findings.
As you command, Megatron.
Today, we're giving you the scoop on Wario Master of Disguise for the Nintendo DS. We're going to tell you all about the graphics, sound, control, fun, and of course, the geek factor, right here on
Graphics.
Wario's graphics stay true to what we've seen before. More cartoony fun and weirdness to be held. Some of the animations are well done. We'll even give you a chuckle now and again. For a DS game, it looks pretty good, but nothing we haven't seen before, though. However, I did like the opening sequence for the game. It's a nice throwback to the classic Wario Land. 5 bits out of 8.
The sound in Wario is good as always, but once again, nothing truly outstanding or award-winning. It just gets the job done. I did like the music, however, it seemed really basic and kind of bland. Not a lot to say here, but the sound design does its function, but at least there are no real bleeps or boops here. Standing middle ground at 4 bits out of 8.
This is where Wario players will face their biggest challenge, not the gameplay, but getting used to the controls. The use of the stylus will have players frustrated for the first little bit, but once you get used to it, it's not too bad. The mini games control about the same as they did in previous versions of WarioWare. Some of the costume patterns to draw are really similar, and more often than not, you accidentally activate the wrong disguise. A disappointing 3 bits out of 8.
A game featuring the arch nemesis of Mario always will strike up a few points in the geek department for me. Also one of the few cases that I can think of when poop actually shows up in a Nintendo game. I don't know, maybe it's just the jackass generation coming out of me, but something about that is just kind of funny and weird at the same time. 6 bits out of 8, just because it's that strange.
Fun factor.
Even with all the things that have been said about this game, I did have some fun with this platformer. I like the mix of puzzle and classic platforming, jumping, and action. There's a lot of gameplay to be had here as well as some unlockable content. The storyline can be described as one long fart joke, kind of like Kevin Smith. But hey, who doesn't enjoy a game where the laughs can come really easy?
Snoochie Boochie Noochies!
5 bits out of 8.
Wario Master of Disguise ends up a master of nothing, really, to be honest with you. It's a bland title featuring the crude counterpoint to Nintendo's hero. The controls are what really kills this game, causing frustration instead of convenience. 4 bits out of 8.
It is the year 2000, but where are the flying cars? I was promised flying cars. I don't see any flying cars. Why? Why? Why?
That was Wario Master of Disguise. Definitely not one of my favorite titles I've had a chance to play for the Nintendo DS, but you know what? Not every game can be a winner. There's got to be some losers. But this game is certainly a winner in my books. This is Puzzle Planet League, a game that very rarely leaves my Nintendo DS and will likely lead to me getting more copies so I can give them out as Christmas gifts, because people that own a DS need this game. It's just that cool.
Those clips are all taken out of context. You're just trying to make us look goofy and paranoid.
Today, we are pleased to bring you Puzzle Planet League on the Nintendo DS. We're going to tell you all about the graphics, sound, control, fun, and of course, who can forget the geek factor, right here on
Geek Gamers Graphics.
Puzzle games aren't known for their mind-blowing graphics, and this title is certainly no exception, but it is still an attractive game. The animated backgrounds definitely suit the tone, and I'm particularly fond of the one that looks like a futuristic wireframe. The blocks have a varying amount of designs with snazzy effects that'll definitely keep your attention. I give the graphics 6 bits out of 8.
Solid.
The soundtrack is what really deserves a highlight here. The techno-inspired tracks keep the game moving along, and after a while, it seems like you're moving your stylus along with the music. As a fan of techno music, it is my hope that the video game remix community gets a hold of these and starts to play around with them. One of the cooler soundtracks I've heard on the DS in quite some time. A solid and well-deserved 8 bits out of 8.
Control.
Puzzle Planet League controls remarkably well for a puzzle game, and well it should. The DS gets tilted on its side like a book, and not even for an instant does it feel awkward or strange. The stylus easily moves the blocks across the screen, and it becomes almost rhythmic after a while. 7 bits out of 8.
Oh, puzzle games. What can I say? The bread and butter of the geek gamer. I like a game that challenges you to think and react on a time limit like this. Slick presentation with a solid set of gameplay makes Puzzle Planet League rank with a wicked 8 bits out of 8.
This is one of the DS titles I'm finding extremely difficult to put down for any real length of time. I find this to be one of those games which can easily kill your DS batteries, because that is about how long you'll actually be playing it. One of the best puzzle games I have played since Tetris, and dare I say, a challenger to the throne. Wicked puzzle fun, a surprisingly good time, and we give it here at Geek Gamers 7 bits out of 8.
Puzzle Planet League is a collection of simple yet challenging puzzle games that will keep you playing for hours. It's nice to see a game like this in the current day of high-tech first-person shooters. Even though puzzle games aren't for everyone, I'm sure the geeks would agree. 7 bits out of 8.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Anyway, this is the end of the show, so stay tuned to thisweekingeek.net for more Geek Gamers, and of course, listen to Twig Fridays from 2:30 to 3:30 on CRNC 90.1 FM, The Heat, Niagara's New Rock. I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd, signing off, saying live free or die hard, noobs.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
Capitalism! Freaking capitalism!
Where's our cut?
The Birdman has lost his mind. Stay tuned next week when he evidently doesn't find it again.
See, the moose are extinct. We shot the last one. That's all Urban Legend.
Stay tuned next week for Electric Boogaloo. Coming up next.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week when you hear Mike say,
and don't forget to spay or neuter your pet, noob.
So make sure to tune in next week on 90.1 FM, The Heat, Niagara's New Rock. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net for more geek content, as well as subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment about this week's episode, head to our forums at thisweekingeek.net/forums. We'll see you next week, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle. It took 15 minutes to take a spirit animal quiz online.
Please be the cheetah. Please be the cheetah.
And learn your animal isn't the cheetah, but the far less appealing blobfish.
Oh, come on.
To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 blobfish minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to Geico.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.
Technology Truths, brought to you by Geico.
Technology Truths.
Truth. Teenagers can communicate entirely in emojis.
How was the birthday party? Pizza slice, kitten, soccer ball, pineapple?
Truth. It's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at geico.com.
What are you talking about? Paperclip, shoulder shrug, high five, wizard hat? What?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.